WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government shut down. House Speaker Mike Johnson says it's the fault of congressional Democrats.
44 Senate Democrats voted to reject a clean, nonpartisan continuing funding resolution to keep the United States government open. The Democrats said instead that they wanted to give health care to illegal aliens instead of keeping critical services provided for the American citizens.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says that's just not true.
Federal law prohibits the use of Medicare, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and the Affordable Care Act to provide health insurance in any way, shape, or form to undocumented immigrants, period, full stop. That's the law, and Democrats aren't trying to change that.
He says Democrats are holding out for health care subsidies that will go to millions of U.S. citizens. Walmart today says it plans to remove synthetic food dyes from its store brands by January 2027. 69 people killed in a strong earthquake in the Philippines. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging hunters to share their passion for the sport with the next generation during this year's Youth Deer Hunt. The annual event will be held on October 11th and 12th, offering hunters 15 and younger the chance to learn hunting techniques in a less crowded environment than the traditional 9-day gun deer hunt season. Youth hunters will be eligible to hunt under a mentor's supervision. Mentors must be at least 18 years old, have a current license, and have completed a hunter education course. The Wisconsin Better Business Bureau is encouraging residents to take advantage of the services it offers following severe weather occurrences. Organization officials say scams are becoming increasingly common in the wake of severe weather and natural disasters as scammers seek to take advantage of struggling residents. They're encouraging residents to visit their Natural Disaster HQ webpage to learn about some common post-storm scams like contractors offering quick fixes, price gouging for high-demand items, or disaster relief fundraising campaigns. The City of Duluth is seeking feedback from the community on city services and priorities. City officials opened a survey last week in partnership with the University of Minnesota Duluth and the Bureau of Business and Economic Research. Their goal is to gather feedback from residents to inform future investments and policy decisions. Any Duluth resident aged 18 or older is invited to participate in the survey, which can be found online. Responses in the survey are confidential and only one response is allowed per resident. Washburn County is seeking applicants to serve as the new zoning administrator. According to a press release, the zoning administrator will be responsible for enforcing county zoning ordinances and other state and federal regulations, including subdivision control, floodplain zoning, and private wastewater treatment system regulations. The position also involves issuing permits as well as assisting and educating residents about the zoning code. More information on the position and the application can be found on the Washburn County website. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers reevaluate. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers having their bye week. After losing to the Browns last week, how are they reacting to Sunday night's game with the Cowboys ending in a tie? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Right now, it feels like kind of like a kick in the gut. It definitely feels more like a loss than anything else. I think what's disappointing is when you have opportunities to win games, which we had an opportunity in both games to win the game. And when you don't win the game, it's disappointing.
College football, following losses to Alabama and Maryland, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Michigan on Saturday. Luke Fickell.
We know we have to get better. There's a process to getting better. We have to see some of those steps to getting better. But there's no way of doing it if you can't stay together and you can't keep your mind in a going in a direction. I can always say positive, but going in a direction that gives us a chance to get better.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Nativerts Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No right. One knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, should the government bail out our farmers because of the tariff policies instituted by our government? We talk to Darren Von Rudin in hour number 2. Don't miss it.
Mattner on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
One more hour from the Lake Wissota studio before we start a little road trip for the next few days. Looking forward to joining you as I do a little bit of traveling here. But from up here in Chippewa Falls, it's nice to have you along across the Civic Media Radio Network on this Wednesday morning, first day of October. First day for some big news up here in the 7th Congressional District. Tom Tiffany, the incumbent Republican congressman, has decided to run for governor. That has opened up this congressional district. It's an open race right now, and people are beginning to position themselves for a run on the Democratic and Republican sides, and we will be breaking a little news about the 7th Congressional District 2026 election coming up starting less than a half hour from now, 8:35. So you're going to want to come on back and hear what we have to say about the big news up north. We've got Earl Ingram standing by as well to tell us about the What's Going On podcast that he can get you at civicmedia.us. First, note that we'd love to have you sign up for our Up North News daily newsletter. Head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. In today's edition, there's a link to my story about the new backdoor abortion ban that is in place. Planned Parenthood has stopped providing abortion services, at least temporarily, in Wisconsin. Because it turns out that in Donald Trump's big bloated boondoggle, there's also a provision in there that halts all Medicaid funding to Planned Parenthood, even for their non-abortion health services. And that's going to take away a lot of funding for things like, basic physicals and blood tests and STD screening and early detection of cancer and all the many, many things that Planned Parenthood does. So it's being challenged in court, but until then, essentially you have a backdoor abortion ban in place in the United States, at least here in Wisconsin, from Planned Parenthood. And details you can find over in our newsletter, again, upnorthnewswi.com. And in our Sunday morning newsletter, our question of the week is about the government shutdown, which started overnight at midnight. And how does this thing end? Do Democrats cave in and just accept all of these massive cuts that Republicans want? Or do they use their leverage and win the restoration of some of those cuts, either with the president caving in or with Republicans and Democrats coming up with something together and even overriding a Donald Trump veto? So where's this thing going? What's your best guess? That's our question of the week. And you get the first look at it by signing up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. At 8:09, let's welcome in Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast. You can get that over at civicmedia.us. And we'll talk more about what's on the show, but certainly some of the other matters that are happening, not the least of which are some of the cuts that come from Trump's big bloated boondoggle. Earl, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing fine as well. But, we explained in the last hour again, we just talked about cuts to Planned Parenthood. We've talked about cuts to training special education teachers. We've talked about cuts to deaf-blind students. Again, all in the name of attacking DEI, because apparently helping special education kids and helping kids who are deaf and blind is somehow special treatment. And you've got experience with some of these things that are going to be cut as well.
Well, thanks again, Pat, for the opportunity. But my wife and I, treatment foster parents, we took in a disabled child 22 years ago, who was born with half a brain, who requires 24-hour care. That young boy that we took in is now a 24-year-old man who still requires 24-hour care. He will his entire life. He doesn't have the capacity to live on his own. And so through Medicaid and some programs inside of that, it helps us in trying to offer this young man the best quality of life that he can possibly get. He could be institutionalized, which is one of the reasons why they created programs to give these special people an opportunity at the best possible lives they could have. And right now, under the big, beautiful bill, there are major cuts that are looming to many of these programs. And I just don't think people are really aware of the impacts of the big, beautiful bill and what is coming down the pike. And so if you know, are fortunate enough that you don't have to be involved with Medicaid and those kinds of things, then count yourself as being fortunate and lucky. But there are many people who that's the only lifeline that they have. And our nation ought to be ashamed of itself if we allow these kinds of things to happen to people who are already up against it because of through no fault of their own being born in the manner that they have been.
Well, and that's the thing here is we're not talking about preference based on somebody's condition. We're talking about dignity based on somebody's condition and making sure that, you know, they have either the opportunity to live, the opportunity to be healthy, the opportunity to be educated. There's nobody that's giving them some kind of an extra advantage. These are the things that we think we would like to do if it was happening right in front of us, you know, right on the street corner. But thankfully, these folks don't have to live on a street corner when we have programs like these that can take care of them. And so it defies any easy explanation. It's either a lack of caring and compassion for folks who have disabilities, and or it is such an immense sense of greed that you will literally, you know, take money, take food off people's tables to pay for tax cuts for the very well off and hope that those benevolent billionaires will somehow take care of you. I don't know if I feel like it's one or the other. It feels like a little bit of both, Earl.
Well, when it's been characterized as a handout, and so when people hear a handout right away without knowing anything about it, they've been led to believe that they're just takers. And so they've put this group of people, disabled people, in the category of takers. And you know, it's dreadful to think about where we're going with this. There's nowhere else to turn. So what do? We cast these people out, and those of us who have dedicated our lives to taking on a tremendous responsibility to try to give people, as you stated so well, dignity in their lives. So those of us who are doing this work, we're going to be left to kind of handle this on our own. I think it's just nonsensical.
That's putting it mildly. We're talking to Earl Ingram. You can learn more about the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast at civicmedia.us/shows. I want to say one more thing about this whole notion of handouts. And we may have touched on this previously, but I think it bears repeating, because I always use the example of Ronald Reagan's so-called welfare queens and talking about waste, fraud, and abuse. And we're hearing that again this week, all the waste, fraud, and abuse that's out there. Waste, fraud, and abuse are already illegal or against the rules. There are already ways to sniff it out, to deny benefits, to prosecute people. So if you really believed that something like that was going on, you'd go after those folks. And I admit, it only takes one person, one example of somebody abusing the system for other people to get cynical and think, oh, everybody must be living high off the hog that way. There's always going to be people that try to game the system. But this is just the worst case of throwing the baby out with the bathwater because you don't like how a couple of people benefit from this program.
Well, if you want to talk about waste, fraud, and abuse on the grandest level, look at our military budget. And there's no comparison with the dollars that are being abused and wasted on that level than there are with people who are in these other programs. The other thing I wanted to talk about quickly in one of the latest podcasts is the street takeovers that are taking place across this nation. And what they are, for people who aren't aware, is at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, a group of young people think it makes sense to organize and pull into some of the busiest intersections of our city and basically just have a party at 3 o'clock in the morning with cars, powerful cars, doing donuts, fireworks, drinking, smoking weed, and doing all sorts of illegal things. 300-400 people gathered. They do this thing via the internet, and it's more than what cities can handle. And so we had a discussion about that on the latest podcast about what is it about the generation that thinks this makes sense. And so I had a discussion with my producer, who is from the generation of young people who are doing these kind of things, to try to get an understanding of what their mindset really is.
Well, I hope that he was able to shed some light on it, because look, we all go through that age range, and we all do things that we look back on and think they were a combination of rebellious and stupid. But it takes it to a different level when you're endangering people by doing what you do on city streets and in intersections, especially with law enforcement that is already running on tight budgets and everything. So again, I don't pretend to know what the alternatives are on this, but I don't know that it's something you just hope everybody gets tired of it and moves on to something else. It's a bigger problem than that, it seems.
Well, when he kind of told me about influencers, and at the root of all of it is influencers. And so this is the insanity of it. People do this to get people to follow them, and they become famous people for being influencers, for whatever that means. But it certainly doesn't make any sense.
No, but it goes back to, from the earliest days of television, everybody wants to be on TV. Everybody wants to be on a screen, and they're willing to go along with pretty much anything. And I tell you, one of the words in the social media era I wish had never come along was challenge, because we always hear about the blank challenge. And next thing you know, somebody's either ingested too much of something and died, or they've engaged in some kind of an extreme selfie and they've died, or whatever influencers are doing to attract crowds now that can lead to, again, disruptions of lives and much worse. So I'm looking forward to the discussion that you're having. It's part of the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Get the details over at civicmedia.us. Click on shows and you'll learn more about it. Earl, I appreciate you bringing some insight to this very much, and to the budget cuts as well, and look forward to chatting with you next week. Thanks for the visit.
Always great to talk to you.
All right. Thank you, Earl, very much. Again, the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast, you can find it at civicmedia.us/shows. A local news update is coming up next for some of you. Others will catch my conversation with Melissa Baldoff for our weekly climate check, and talking about the Trump administration making a big investment this week in green energy. No, and going back to coal. Yeah, for real. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
The Village of Roberts is turning 150, and you're invited to the Main Street celebration this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's something for everyone, from live music, great food and cold drinks, to kids' sack races, old-fashioned playground games, and juggling shows. Local businesses join the fun, too, with bed races, quilting and weaving demos, a historical scavenger hunt, and special window displays lining Main Street. Come celebrate 150 years of Roberts pride this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right on Main Street.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media has a new daily newsletter chock full of links to show highlights and news headlines and more. It's on Substack, you know, where all the cool kids are gathering now. So head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com and get subscribed there. I think at Substack, you can also get to Dan Schaefer's Recombobulation area. You can search my name on there, too, and see that, yeah, I've got a Substack. I haven't done anything with it in over a year. I've got this job that gets in the way, but rest assured, one of these days, I'll join all the rest of the cool kids in posting regularly on Substack, including Civic Media with Civic Media Today. Let us jump into this week's Climate Check with Melissa Baldoff. It's one that, again, when I saw the headline the other day, I knew right away, send this one to Melissa. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. In our government shutdown world we live in.
Yes. Before we get to my story, you've got the story of with a shutdown. I mean, the only people that are working who are federal government employees are basically, you know, essential workers. You've got the military, you've got the TSA and others. They're not getting paid, but they still have to work where everybody else has to either go home without pay or might even get laid off permanently. And there is a climate/energy connection to the shutdown as well.
Yes, I'm sure that folks are going to be absolutely shocked to learn that while the Interior Department is cutting its workforce because of the shutdown, two-thirds of the staff from the National Park Service and the Secretary's Office, the Bureau of Land Management, however, has determined that workers who are processing drilling permits for oil and natural gas and coal mining operations. Those folks are essential, so they're still going to work to, you know, really bolster our commitment to fossil fuels.
Sure. It just feeds right into the story out of the White House this week. Forget drill, baby, drill. It's mine, baby, mine, as Trump officials offer a plan, a $625 million plan to boost coal production, including opening 13 million acres of federal land for mining and eliminating pollution limits. And already in this age of Trump, several utilities have already agreed that at least 50 coal-burning units are going to continue operating past their scheduled closure date. So, like it or not, Melissa, when people voted for Donald Trump, they voted for a return to the age of coal. Congratulations, America. You did it.
You know, that's absolutely right. And you know, it's just really disappointing to see, you know, this, you know, investment, this bailout, really, to, you know, an industry that other countries around the world have recognized is doing a lot of harm. And instead of you know, kind of letting the science and the market dictate where we're going with our energy production, with our economy, and everything points to clean energy, renewable energy being not only the best for the environment, for our health, but the best for the economy. You know, we know that wind and solar are incredibly inexpensive, efficient, and reliable sources of energy. You've got, you know, the Trump administration doubling down to, you know, offer up a, you know, a bailout, essentially, for wealthy oil and gas companies, right? So this, you know, dirty fossil fuel industry. And we know that, you know, this is going to be, this is, I mean, look, this is something he promised them, right? This is what he promised these donors to him, these energy executives, that he was going to do everything he could for them. And, you know, here he is. He is making this investment in the coal industry while we ignore investment and opportunity in renewable energy.
And by the way,
we'll have that impact of, you know, these coal plants, including one, you know, not too far away from me in Oak Creek, mm-hmm. that earlier in the summer had announced that they would delay the retirement by a year. And, you know, it just makes you wonder, with these signals from the federal government, from the president, will utility companies say, hey, you know what, maybe we'll push it out even further, because they know that they can make money that way.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got the pro polluters in power, they're going to do what they do best. But meanwhile, like you said, other people made the decision to go in a cleaner direction. And folks who catch our daily history lesson will remember that yesterday marked the 1 year anniversary of the United Kingdom going coal free. The whole United Kingdom closed up its last coal-fired power station 1 year ago yesterday and has operated without coal for a year without any issues or problems whatsoever. And it's a place where we can get to in this country if we want to. But instead, you've got you know, a president who keeps describing this black combustible rock as, quote, clean, beautiful coal. Either calls it clean coal or clean, beautiful coal. And that's garbage. But that is, again, the man knows his marketing, and he's trying to convince people that coal is somehow clean and beautiful, which is why we do segments like this, Melissa, to give people, I don't know, a little reality.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the public service we're providing here, making sure that folks know just how terribly this administration is botching this, and what, you know, what a real embarrassment we are on the world stage when mm-hmm. we should be thinking, you know, how can we catch up to the UK as quickly as we can in this, and right. not, oh, we're going to go completely the other way.
And instead, we've got we're going to up the mining, which is linked to air pollution, water contamination, black lung disease in coal miners is going to make a comeback. Oh, yippee. Melissa Baldoff, thank you for the update. Wish it was happier, but we got to get the news out there. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
All right. Some big news out of the 7th Congressional District up north. We'll tell you all about it in about 5 minutes here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A proposed bill seeking to push back the enforcement date of recently adopted building codes was heard in a state assembly committee this week. The legislation was proposed by a group of Republican lawmakers and seeks to delay the start of enforcement until April of 2026. Enforcement was originally scheduled to begin on Wednesday, but the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services pushed that deadline back to November 1st amid concerns from the construction industry over inflation, workforce shortages, and supply chain issues. A recent report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum found that the state's alcohol-induced death rate is declining but still remains above pre-pandemic levels. According to the report, nearly 1,100 Wisconsin residents died due to alcohol-induced causes in 2024. The state's alcohol-induced mortality rate was 18.2 per 100,000 residents, significantly higher than the national average of 13.9 last year. In 2019, the state's alcohol-induced mortality rate was only 14.9 per 100,000 residents. The Barron Electric Cooperative's Board of Directors has approved the return of over $1.2 million to over 16,000 current and former members through cashback credits. Checks will be distributed at a pair of Cooperative Month events that will be held on October 7th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Barron Electric's office in Spooner and October 9th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Barron Electric's office in Barron. Members who are unable to attend one of the events will get the remaining checks mailed to them by the end of October. A Comstock woman was arrested over the weekend after allegedly driving her vehicle into a Polk County lake while operating under the influence. According to the Wisconsin State Patrol, 37-year-old Emily Jean Stowell was charged with first offense operating a motor vehicle under the influence in relation to the crash, which occurred on Saturday at around 12:30 a.m. According to their preliminary investigation, authorities say Stowell was driving northbound on County Line Street when she veered off the road and crashed into the lake. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. It can be hard for a filmmaker or artist to watch material they've created or were a part of. Sometimes it's because they watch it so much while making it, they just don't feel the need. But in the case of actor Paul Bettany, he can't watch A Knight's Tale anymore because of Heath Ledger, despite the film being a breakout role for Bettany, according to Yahoo News. The Da Vinci Code actor said recently at Comic-Con LA that he just misses his friend Ledger, who he called a playful, joyous spirit. The two bonded on the 2001 film in which Bettany plays Geoffrey Chaucer, and he says he has not seen it once since. Tubi is on fire. The streamer, which is mostly free, has dipped its toes into pro sports and is now doing a cannonball off the high dive. Tubi will be part of the Thanksgiving Day NFL extravaganza and air your Green Bay Packers against the Detroit Lions. It will be a simulcast with Fox Sports. Fox acquired Tubi in 2020. The streamer also has tons of great free movies if you don't mind a few ads. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 59.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media host Greg Bach joins me to discuss the Milwaukee County Festival. Then Civic Media's Catherine Lake talks about a big movie screening in Madison, and actor Dan Davies drops by. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The decision by Congressman Tom Tiffany to run for governor means there will now be an open race for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, which takes up a good chunk of the northern third of Wisconsin. It was represented by Dave Obey for 40-some years, Sean Duffy after that, and Tom Tiffany currently. But with him running for governor, it opens it up with Republicans and Democrats talking amongst themselves about who should be running and who could serve as the next member of Congress from up north. One of the people who's been doing a lot of talking about that, a lot of traveling, connecting with people, is actually a former legislator from the Baraboo area, but who relocated to northern Wisconsin a number of years ago. And I mean, if you want to know about the North Woods, you got to talk to a guy that really knows woods, and nobody knows the woods like Fred Clark. He is a senior forester. He has served as a senior forester with the Department of Natural Resources, as an ecologist with the Nature Conservancy. He's been a consulting forester. He has served on the Wisconsin Council on Forestry, the Wisconsin Council on Tourism, briefly on the State Natural Resources Board. He knows a thing or two about how to make sure that the North Woods is good for business, is good for tourism, and is good to our resources. And maybe it's time that the North Woods is good for representation in Congress as well. So Fred Clark joins us now to tell us more about what's happening in the 7th. Fred, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Pat. Really good to see you. It's a wonderful morning here in the fall in the North Woods.
It really is. And so, I mean, nobody understands the task ahead like you. And I'm sure that other people have expressed interest in this as well. But where did you ultimately come down on your own decision about what to do in the 7th District?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. You know, I spent a good part of this summer with some friends just traveling the 7th Congressional District. And as most of your listeners know, it's a huge district. This is about a third of Wisconsin, our entire North Woods, parts of 26 counties. And we just wanted to, after talking among ourselves and following all of the drama coming out of Washington, we just decided to get on the road and try to put a pulse on what people were thinking about and talking about. We went to Marshfield and to Wausau and Merrill and Tomahawk and Rhinelander and Hayward and Spooner and Webster and Hudson. Had a lot of conversations with a lot of people to figure out what concerns are sort of rising to the top for the communities around northern Wisconsin, and what people are looking for out of representation. And this is at a time when Congressman Tom Tiffany was basically missing in action. He was not holding public events. Some of these really momentous decisions, like the big billionaire's bill that came out of Washington that he voted for, he simply wasn't willing to stand up and account for himself in public. And we learned a lot from those trips, and it really helped me, after a lot of thought, make a decision that I think the time is right to stand up and make the case for new representation in Congress in northern Wisconsin.
So you're in.
I'm in. The candidacy starts today.
All right. It's you've done some of the prep work already. There's a website up, clark4wi.com. Again, clark4wi.com, where people are going to learn more about you and more about the issues. I gave a bit of an introduction that stressed your forestry roots, but you did serve a number of years in the legislature. And so tell us a bit more about, you know, your time there and the priorities that you brought to Madison that you'd now like to bring to Washington.
Sure. Thanks for asking. You know, for many years, I lived in Baraboo, a town in Sauk County, north of Madison. From there, I ran a forestry consulting and contracting business. In fact, one of my very first jobs, my first year in business, was marking timber up here for the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. But in that work, I just became more and more involved in conservation as well as community leadership. And in 2008, I took a long shot and ran for the state assembly seat that includes the communities of Baraboo and Portage and Montello, perfect farm and forest country. I'd never had a political background before, but again, it was an opportunity for me to learn more and provide service to an important community that really meant a lot to me. I won a Republican held seat. I did that with a lot of crossover voters from Republicans and Democrats who knew that it was time for a change and that they could trust me to help represent their values and their interests, even if we didn't agree on every issue. And I learned a tremendous amount from that effort. The most important one being, if you're elected as a representative, it's your job to represent everybody. It doesn't matter how they voted. Doesn't matter if they agree with you on everything, but there are lots of issues at home that we all have to work together on if we're going to be successful. And I took that to heart, and I'll take it to heart for Northern Wisconsin.
It sure certainly seems to be a message that would resonate right now in what is now the ninth hour of a shutdown of the federal government brought about by an unwillingness by the majority party to negotiate, even though they need Democratic votes to get anything done. So I'm sure with this shutdown, people would be asking, what would you do differently? What is it? What traits would you bring that might make it less likely that we see government shutdowns?
Yeah. The choice of Democrats right now is a very tough one, but I don't fault them for standing up. When you look at the brutal impact on middle-class people across this country from single policy of removing the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, that's going to affect healthcare for millions of people. This is really their only point of leverage right now. But fundamentally, we've got to relook at how we budget and run the federal government. There is simply no reason that we should be going through this shutdown drama every 4 years. When the parties can't agree on the most basic responsibility, which is how to run our governments. So I think we need to relook at the principles and procedures for federal budgeting. And that's the most basic thing we should be expecting from our Congress. We expect that from our state legislature. And for the most part, we get it.
Do the basics of funding then extend to putting a priority on things like healthcare rather than billionaire tax breaks? I guess what I'm saying is, right now, the Democrats in Congress are saying, look, negotiate with us if you need our votes, because we think you've gone too far in these healthcare cuts. And if you want our votes, they've got to be, restored or pared back. And Republicans are even refusing to negotiate. I don't think I have to go very hard to find out whether you think Congress should be taking more of its energy on providing for people's health care than providing for tax cuts for the rich.
It's incredible. Health care wasn't perfect a year ago. We still had a long way to go to provide the opportunity for basic health care for everyone, regardless of income. But the big, beautiful bill, as the president liked to call it, has a massive across the board impact on both the Medicaid cuts that are going to affect healthcare for the people who need it the most, as well as the Affordable Care Act subsidy removals, which is going to increase healthcare premiums by up to 75% or more for many people that are on the exchanges and the Affordable Care Act. That's the most massive transfer of wealth to billionaires that's ever occurred in the history of our federal government and our federal budgets. No, it's not acceptable. And no, no one should be voting to support a budget that fails Americans so badly and broadly.
We're talking to Fred Clark, former state assembly rep, who is now the Democratic candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District, all across the northern third of Wisconsin here. And let's get to the district itself and the things that proper representation can do for it. You've got an entire platform based on rebuilding the rural economy around, you know, our lakes and our forests and our towns. And we know that Tom Tiffany, as a congressman and prior to that in the state legislature, had the primary goal of getting mines operating in Wisconsin and expanding development that way. Okay, that's one mindset, is mining and development. Where's yours in terms of making sure that the rural economy across northern Wisconsin can be vibrant during your time in office?
Yeah, thanks, Pat. You know, so let's just look at what we have here in the north. The forests, the lakes, the rivers, the farms that make up this kind of piece of our world. You know, this is iconic Wisconsin. When the Department of Tourism wants to sell Wisconsin to out-of-state visitors, the North Woods is one of the major places that they go. If we want to maintain that, which also means maintaining the quality of life and the clean water and the clean air and the outdoor spaces that make this place what it is, we have to invest in that. From an economic development standpoint, we can chase big mines, you know, big holes in the ground. We can chase massive international businesses that we think are going to plop down, you know, big data centers and create jobs. But I think time after time and a lot of effort and experience has shown that you get a better bang for your buck by investing in local communities, local businesses, the sort of small and medium-sized businesses and the small farms and the forestry enterprises that are the bulk of employment and economic activity in northern Wisconsin. That's where we need to be making our investments. And as a policymaker, that's where I would absolutely reinvest and increase our investment to make sure that the businesses that are already here are able to thrive.
What about in terms of the trade war that Donald Trump has imposed on this country and on this economy, ostensibly to rebuild or, you know, help out American manufacturing? To what degree do you feel like that is the right track or wrong track?
Oh, if you talk to farmers today throughout the Midwest, but including in Wisconsin, the trade war and this sort of ever-changing tariff war that, especially with China right now, is going to be a punch in the gut for farm producers. You know, if you're growing soybeans right now, you may have had a bumper crop this year and nowhere to go with it because China stopped buying American soybeans this year for the first time in a long time. And there simply are not markets for what we're producing today as we get near harvest time. And, you know, farmers have paid their own dollars in these checkoff funds for decades that have gone into marketing programs to help establish these markets. They're being wiped away by a tweet from our president who decides with almost no evidence that we're going to just start these tariff wars. It's hugely disruptive. We're all going to be paying for it.
The problem is that we've had a Congress that has abandoned its duties as a co-equal branch of government to provide some oversight, some guidance and things like that. And so I want to talk to you after the break about, you know, the role that you think Congress should have if Democrats were to take control in the midterms for the second half of President Trump's term. What are the things that could be done if not working with the president, then at least putting forth, you know, a better slate of ideas than what we've seen and the damage that has been done to the economy right now? We're talking to Fred Clark, former state assembly rep, who is also now a candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District here up north. We'll have more with Fred Clark and some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up in just a bit. Again, remember, you can follow my work over at upnorthnewswi.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Remember, you can follow Up North News on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Blue Sky, and the Dumpster Fire, formerly known as Twitter, where we've put the note that Fred Clark is a candidate for Congress now. The former state assembly rep is running in the 7th Congressional District up north, and we've been going over some of the issues that led Fred to decide to make this run for Congress, which will be an open seat now, with Tom Tiffany running for governor. And we left off, Fred, talking about the Constitution, talking about the rule of law, talking about a Congress that, you know, for all of our lifetimes, even when it was of the same party as the president, still curbed any presidential excesses and provided some guardrails. And now we're seeing just a complete abdication of that oversight. How do you envision the role of Congress? First, if you were to win the majority next year in the second half of a Donald Trump term, but frankly, even if there were a Democratic president, talk more about your philosophy of what a member of Congress should actually be doing.
Yeah, well, all of us ought to take some time to read the Constitution. I reread it again this summer, and it doesn't take long to do, but the founders of this country, the framers of the Constitution, envisioned this sort of three-part government with the judiciary and the Congress and the executive branch being co-equal branches of government. And Congress actually should have most of the power in that relationship around how we run the federal government. And this year, our Congress has failed in most of that responsibility. You know, one is to budget funds for programs that are passed into law, along with the funding to support them, and the executive branch has a responsibility to fulfill those programs. This administration has failed to do that. And in fact, they've killed off entire programs that were congressionally authorized. That's wrong. Congress should stand up to oppose that. This president's use of tariff power, which is only supposed to be an emergency authority for the executive branch, in creating this wild tariff war that changes daily depending on what the president may have had for breakfast in the morning. It's insane. It's making it impossible for businesses to invest with any stability of where their investment is going to return. And Congress has not stood up to stop that. I think what we have right now are, especially the Republicans in Congress, are basically running scared. They're afraid to stand up. They won't even oppose this administration on some of the most basic things because they're afraid of being tweeted at or attacked by this president. It's almost like you have to take a loyalty test to be in the Republican Party today. And that there's nothing more un-American than that.
Oh, it's not almost. I mean, we're just flat out right there at this point. Now, there is also the notion of border security and immigration, which are two things that are related, but you know they're not joined at the hip. You need to work differently on one than on another. And for example, in Wisconsin, we have such a reliance on migrant labor, especially on our farms, but also manufacturing and a host of other areas. And so when you've got a president with just a flat out anti-immigrant agenda, how do you address that while at the same time, you know, acknowledging that there is always room to improve security at our borders?
Yeah, it's such a complex issue, and it's so unfortunate that it's been beat into a political hot potato. And we absolutely need security at our border. And we need to be making smarter investments about that because a wall is not an effective form of really stopping illegal immigration. We can do that. And we need an aggressive, active role for federal law enforcement to go after lawbreakers, especially criminals. There's no question that needs to be a priority. But what's happening right now is that this administration and an entire segment of the Make America Great movement are demonizing immigrants across the board. And that is really harming hardworking, honest people who have come to this country to do important jobs that we need done because businesses need to hire them. They're supporting our economy, but importantly, they're also supporting families back home. And to see good, honest, hardworking people who want to be here legally hauled off of the streets and taken away without due process, or in many cases, deported to countries that aren't even their home country. That's morally wrong, and it's not making us safer.
We're talking to Fred Clark here, and just looking at some of the comments that have come in from PJ, the U.S. border is 1,500 miles away from Wisconsin. Let's worry about what's happening here in Wisconsin first. Adam says, I hope to see Fred Clark at the Three Lakes 4th of July parade next year. Tony says, please represent me. Joe on the text line in Superior says, Argentina is getting a $20 billion bailout from the Trump administration and taking our soybean market from American farmers. So literally taking our farmers' lunch money. And so there's more than a little bit of work that's going to be done, Fred, if you're able to capture this seat next year. Again, depending on who all gets in, there may be a primary next August to the general election in November of next year with an open field for Democrats and Republicans alike. But you've made the decision to get in. You've outlined where your positions are on some of the issues. And I don't doubt we'll be having a lot of conversations between now and Election Day, Fred. Thank you very much for joining us to make your announcement here on our program.
You bet, Pat. Thanks for having me. Thanks for being part of the kickoff today. And I'll look forward to seeing you again.
All right. Sounds good. And you can learn more about Fred's campaign at clarkforwi.com. That again is Clark, F-O-R-W-I.com. And of course, he's got the Facebook page and everything else. And we'll continue to monitor this new race in the 7th Congressional District here up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow, hoping you enjoy the rest of your Wednesday as we get started with the month of October already. Hard to believe. Anyway, I'll be on the road tomorrow. I'll be checking in from new locations as I make the annual tour of daughters coming up. So I'll see you tomorrow morning from up north or somewhere, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is shut down. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers now furloughed and not getting a paycheck. ABC's Rachel Scott covering developments in Washington.
The Department of Labor seeing 76% of its workforce temporarily reduced. At Health and Human Services, 41% of employees will be furloughed, including 64% of workers at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Members of the military also hit hard, many forced to work without a paycheck.
The FBI, the CIA, air traffic controllers, and TSA agents are all continuing to work. Part of a New York City high-rise has collapsed, leaving a corner of the building a pile of rubble. No immediate reports of injuries. Firefighters say they were responding to a report of a gas explosion that collapsed the incinerator shaft in the Bronx. Rescuers desperately searching for any survivors after a strong earthquake in the central Philippines that left at least 69 people dead. This is ABC News.